The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
Oil prices posting a third weekly gain as the potential for a production freeze deal among major producers outweighing concerns about ample inventories. Here to tell us more, John Kilduff, founding partner of Again Capital. All right, John, great to have you with us. Are we going to see oil prices continue to move higher?
I think in the short run, we will go a bit higher, Pim. The market got caught short in the face of some comments by the new Saudi oil minister, and the short covering is underway with abandon right now. So I think we still have some more to go before we can head back lower again.
All right. What is going to cause the lower prices after this short covering?
Well, again, you know, the market got to a record short position. So whenever the boat gets loaded to one side, I like to say it has to revert. But I think as long as the price rally fails at 50 or 52, we'll go back down. The reason we're going to go back down is because for all the talk of a freeze and all the talk of cooperation among OPEC, Russia, and maybe some other countries, there just keeps seeing more and more oil coming to the market. The Saudis are at a record export level of crude oil and refined products. The Chinese are continuing to ramp up their export of refined products. Russia at an all-time high. Northern Iraq oil production came back online for the first time in months just today. The Libyans are starting to get their oil out to the market again as well. And if the Nigerians can get their act together, it's just another wave of oil for this market. So it has nowhere to go but down.
And John, countries such as Venezuela, they're looking to increase or to export more oil because that's a hard currency earner.
Absolutely, Pim. And you know, and Venezuela that you just mentioned, they certainly are the basket case among the producers right now with their economy teetering on imploding completely. Their oil production actually is somewhat challenged, so that is something of a supportive feature. And I know you've probably been talking about this all day, but the weakness in the dollar has had a big effect on dollar-denominated oil prices as well. As that dollar falls, it props up oil prices, so that too is a factor right now.
What role is Iran playing in the oil industry?
Well, interesting. I was at the last meeting, at the last go-around of this freeze nonsense, I was convinced the deal would not come together. I thought maybe this time that there was a chance for a deal because the Iranians are pretty much back to their pre-sanction output levels in terms of crude oil production. But they have just said that they probably won't attend the meeting in Algeria next month where they're hoping to get this deal cobbled together. And also, too, their recent allowance of Russia to use an airbase within Iran to strike Syria is really a stick in the eye to the Saudis once again. So there's no coming together between those two main players in OPEC, and without that, there will be no deal.
John, you mentioned Nigeria production, and I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about why it is at a 27-year low and what's going to happen next.
So where the oil is in Nigeria is in the southern part of the country or on the coastline. It's called the Nigeria Delta. And from time to time, the indigenous folks down there rise up and protest and rebel and bomb and attack the oil infrastructure because they don't get their fair share of the pie as they see it. The new government that came in there cut payments to the various groups there, and what you'd think would happen happened. And so there's been attacks on the infrastructure, and there have been a pretty dedicated bunch there that has helped knock oil output offline. But the government has reversed course, has begun making payments. There's serious negotiations underway. So that oil output could rebound as quickly as it went offline. I like to point out that this is not the Boko Haram, another sectarian sort of upset that you have in the northern part of the country. This is strictly all about petrodollars.
John, at a price of around $48 a barrel for West Texas and $50 a barrel for Brent crude, at what point do U.S. producers start pumping more oil?
Well, Tim, they've done an incredible job now over the past year driving their costs down. There are a number of areas now where they're profitable at $35 a barrel. You might have noticed today that the rig count, Baker Hughes rig count, was up again. I think for the fourth straight week, it's back.
I think they added 10, right? They added 10 rigs.
10 more rigs. It's up about almost 30% now off its low from March. So they've been racing rigs back into service. And earlier this week, it was partly due to an adjustment, but the EIA told us that U.S. production has jumped the most it has since May 2015, 150,000 barrels a day, which is not insignificant. So they're on the comeback trail, really, as we speak. Just getting over $40 a barrel seems to have invited some hopeful analysis among the sector to get back in, get back in the ground, and get drilling again.
To give you some numbers for it, the number of rigs drilling for oil in the United States has climbed for 8 consecutive weeks. It rose above 400 rigs for the week for the first time since February. This all according to Baker Hughes. John, explain what happens with refiners, because they're switching over from gasoline production to heating oil, correct?
That's correct. And they're also switching over from summer-grade gasoline to winter-grade gasoline, which is easier to make. And then we had an abundance of that coming out of last winter, which helped get the pump prices really low come February when they had to switch out. So what's going to happen now, Tammy, is you're going to see the refiners cut their runs, their utilization rate. And, of course, that's going to cause crude oil to be less in demand back up in the system. And this is why over the course of the next couple of months, you could see a real breakdown again, just as we saw last year, as the glut just enlarges and gets bigger and bigger, and really the global market gets swamped again.
I want to thank you very much, John Kilduff. He is the founding partner of Again Capital, giving us his view on the oil markets, with oil posting a third weekly gain. I want to thank you all for listening to Taking Stock. My thanks to our engineer, Reggie Bazile, our producer, Mark Siniscalchi. I'm Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.